This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, I'm sitting up here in my office with all this stuff in the wrong place, I guess, but you guys won't let me in the radio station anymore, so what the heck? I guess I have to talk from here.
It's okay now. I forgot to put it online.
So what's up in Roseburg? Is it still sunny?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's like 70.
I know. Hey, it's a great day. It's a great spring day in Douglas County.
Couldn't ask for better.
Before I start the show, though, I want to, you know, anybody that's listening out there, we are open at this nursery 6 days a week from 9 to 5. So if you want a safe place to come, Wintergreen Nursery with all its trees and shrubs and flowers mm-hmm. and things like that is a very safe place to come. We did not allow any viruses or things like that to come on our property. So it's a good-to-go thing.
That's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to call first to make sure we're here, the number is 679-8224. And I thought I'd give that number out since we're not going to have any call-ins in our current setup here. Our current situation, yeah. Oh, golly, I'll tell you. You know, with all this madness going on, and everybody's supposed to stay at home or not go anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand a lot of the reasoning behind it. I understand some of it. You don't hug strangers and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we can still get out and enjoy a walk around our neighborhood, or if we live in the country, just down the country road, you know, and just focus on the beauty that's coming to life all around us here in Douglas County. Spring in Douglas County is like spring in nowhere else that I know of. I'm sure there are other places that are just as beautiful. But since I live here, all I care about is here. And like I say, focus on the beauty that we're experiencing right now and will till about, oh gosh, mid-June at least. I mean, spring lasts a long time in Douglas County, so the things are growing and blooming and becoming prettier every day. And everything is just coming to life all around us. You know, there's like thousands of flowers in bloom. I mean, literally thousands of flowers. You walk down any street or drive by any establishment and you'll just see color popping out all over the place, you know, flowers mm-hmm. and shrubs and new growth and trees of every type, you know, pushing new fresh leaves. You know, the new leaves on a tree are just gorgeous. I mean, like everything else, with time they get older and they get a little crustier, you know. And then in the fall they fall off. They get really wrinkled and fall off, you know. So that they always come back every spring.
Yeah.
Just as nice and as fresh and beautiful. And that's what makes spring so wonderful in Douglas County.
There's still life out there.
Yeah, right. There is still life out there that isn't affected by government mandates or viruses or anything like that, you know.
Right.
But anyway, this is the kind of thing you won't find all this beauty like in downtown Portland or any other big city because of the many challenges that they have, because there are pockets of landscaping in those places, but for the most part, it's there's some words I could say, but it probably wouldn't be appropriate on the radio. But
we'll try it and see what happens.
No, I'll skip. Maybe later I'll pop something in there.
Okay.
But, you know, here's the deal. When we're in a situation like this, we gotta focus on the good things that are happening, and spring is as good as we get right now. We have a beautiful creation surrounding us, and what we need to do is dwell on what's good, what's beautiful, what's bursting with life, and this is just one way to relieve the stress
right.
beating at our doors. Excuse me
constantly.
For crying out loud.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we can listen to all the news on the virus, and every radio station, every TV station, all that. I mean, they're pounding away at it. That's all we hear almost 24/7 here.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the alerting of citizens as to what they should do and how they should avoid being affected and those kinds of things. But
right.
for 24/7, for crying out loud, there are other things that we can dwell on that won't put us in the tank of
depression. Yeah.
You know? So that's
well,
why
I can't really say much. I'm kind of guilty of that too.
What?
Of reading the news on the air.
Well, I know that, but I'm not saying this about you. I'm saying, you know, the major thing, you know, the CBS, NBC,
gotcha.
the all that kind of stuff. I mean, they just hammer and hammer and hammer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It just sometimes it just irritates me because they're hammering my president as well, you know. So how's that for political stuff?
There you go.
But at any rate, today I wanted to do a couple of different things I want to focus on, but one of the focuses I would like to try today's show uh-huh. is on trees.
Okay.
Because we have so stinking many trees in Douglas County. I'll bet we had a billion trees in Douglas County of one type or another, you know. But trees are simply the most visible plants in our landscape and in this natural world that we exist in. You know, we're not mm-hmm. the Mojave Desert, obviously. So we, you know, these guys are big, you know, Doug fir, oaks, maples, things like that. But right now, just in the last week, trees have gone from, the majority of the trees have gone from bare branches, you know, nothing mm-hmm. on them, to full of bright green new leaves. And you go, wow. You know, as I drive around from place to place during the day in my job, this is the stuff I notice all the time. I'm always mm-hmm. naturally looking at landscapes, naturally looking at trees and shrubs and all that. It's just like, I don't know how to explain it, but that's what I do.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, you get it. Maybe somebody else does too. But, but you know, you're going down the street where you normally go down, all of a sudden, the other day I went, wow, that tree is fully leafed out. Like 2 days prior to it, there was still stems and branches,
yeah.
and nothing. And all of a sudden, this thing is bright green, big old, I forget what kind of tree it was. I was driving by, and there it was, bright green. I thought, wow, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I mean, I have missed that. And you know, it changed my attitude right away from, you know, thinking about all the stuff I had to do to, wow, isn't that cool? Isn't that pretty? And you know, they're just an amazing living thing. And
mm-hmm. They are.
And if you look around, they're just coming out. This is their purest, most beautiful time of the year is when they first come out, and like I say, till about mid-June when they're fully leafed and they're looking good. You know, people can get an idea, like say somebody buys a brand new house, and there's plenty of brand new houses around with not a stick of grass or a couple of weeds in the whole yard.
Mm-hmm.
And then people come along and buy these new homes.
Right.
And a lot of them don't know about landscaping. A lot of them don't know about trees or shrubs, and they have to learn, or they hire a guy like me to help them or somebody else. But now, if you're in that segment of the population that's waiting to move into your new home and you don't know what to do, get out and walk around. Get out and take a look. Get out and see what looks good to you. And, you know, and try to identify or have somebody help you identify what kind of trees really
there.
Yeah, and catch your eye and catch your interest and say, mm-hmm. wow, I really like that. I wonder what it is, because it's you know, there are some trees, of course, that are a little bit slower in leafing out, like sweet gum or oak or birch. But most varieties, like of Japanese maples and big leaf maples, are really on display now wherever I look. And there are some dogwoods there that are around the community. It's one client I'm working with right now. They have a pink flowering dogwood in their front by their front entryway. And when I was up there a couple of weeks ago, I could see the buds and all that. But like today when we were up there doing a job for them, these little buds have turned into pink flowers. Not totally open, but you can tell they're it's going to be outrageously beautiful because of its location and its size. It's probably been in about 10 years, so it has some size to it. Looks really good. It's like Kyle. Kyle has a pink dogwood in his front yard.
I thought you were comparing Kyle to a tree.
Kyle and a tree. No, but Kyle has a beautiful pink dogwood, very large in his front yard. And a few years back, he had us prune it, and because it was, kind of oddly shaped and was getting a little bit too tall, and we'll prune it. And so we did kind of a number on it. And, of course, when he came home, he looked at it and kind of shook his head and said, well, okay. But that tree, since we pruned it, is wider, and it has wide, like in the width of the tree and the branches of the tree. And consequently, it has more flowers on it. And now it's even better than it once was. And it was beautiful at the time. It was just a little tall and rangy. And what we did is reduce the overall height and made it spread a little bit more. And it's got like twice as many flowers on it now.
Gave it a little help.
Yeah, just need a little help, just a little adjustment, you know. And but in this next week, with what's it today, 72 or something like that?
Yeah, it's about that, 70, see.
Yeah, right? And you guys predicted 72, so I took you at your word.
Oh, maybe. Okay, it's 72 now.
Okay, I mean, don't lie to me now. But if in the next week these daytime temperatures stay the same or increase or whatever, most of all the deciduous trees will be pretty much leafed out in their brand new forms. And it just changes the whole look of the community.
It does. It really does.
Yeah. It changes. All of a sudden you go, wow, you feel better about it. And that's the kind of thing I want to stress to folks that are maybe feeling down in the dumps or upset about the virus or upset about, the state of affairs that we're experiencing. Get out and take a look. Get out and take a look at nature. And, it will calm the soul. It will make you feel a little bit better. It'll make you feel like, hey, there is life after all.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And I can't dwell on the negative stuff. You know, you dwell on negative stuff all the time and you hear negative stuff all the time. It just gets you down.
It does. It really does.
Yeah, it does. But if you, like I say, take in nature. Hey, nature.
Nature hike.
Yeah, take a nature hike, And then, you got the evergreen trees like firs and pines and cedars and spruces and those kinds of things. They're just beginning to show some new buds and new color. They're a little bit slower than a lot of the deciduous trees, but they grow for a longer period of time. They grow maybe into about July with their new growth. But they're starting to perk up. I saw even in my canyon out there, I've got stuff that's pushing new growth. Like on my Deodar cedars, I'm seeing about an inch. In the last few days, about an inch of new growth coming out. Well, they usually grow about, the side branches probably grow a foot or two. And so it's got a lot of growing yet to do. But they're coming out, and they show color. They're like a Colorado blue spruce. The new buds are blue. And the new growth is blue, whereas a Deodar cedar, the new growth and the buds are kind of a light green, and then the pines and firs are a little bit deeper green, and then they continue to get deeper green as the growing season continues. But But by mid-April, they'll be, you know, 1st of May, you'll see most of all the trees will be in leaf or have pushed new needles or mm-hmm. one of those. And in our landscape trees, you know, in our landscaping in our yards.
Can we have a cliffhanger right there? It's time for a break.
We got a cliffhanger? Okay.
Okay.
I'll hang on the cliff. You call me back.
No. We'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are back. 71 degrees, they tell us now, Mike.
Huh, 71. Well, it felt like 72 to me, but, you know, that's out here in Winston.
Yeah, it's a little further south.
Yeah, a little further south, you know. Anyway, I'm just, you know, Kyle said, well, keep it light. A light show, and that's you know, kind of light, and don't give a whole bunch of, you know, technical stuff. And that's kind of what I'm doing today, just reminisce on some things and kind of try to boost the spirit of everybody out there that might be listening. Yeah. But, you know, in our landscape, trees play a significant role in several ways. You know, not only are they beautiful, but they provide oxygen that we desperately need because it takes all the poison and gases and all that other stuff out of the atmosphere and turns it into oxygen that we can breathe. And that's a plus. That's a real plus.
I'd hate to have the other.
Yeah, the other one, you know, if it was reversed, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No.
But, you know, in the heat of summer, when July, August, and September roll around, they cool our yards, they cool our homes. And, you know, I forget, I had the data somewhere. I got a box full of these notes here. But I read in some scientific journal about how many degrees one tree will cool your yard, and you know, you multiply that out, and if you got 58 trees in your yard, it's going to be a cold place, I'll tell you.
It's going to be like winter.
Yeah, right. Winter all the time. But you know, if you can take off, you know, 5 degrees of the summertime heat, your air conditioning, of course, within your home doesn't have to work as hard. To keep your home, you know, in a very cool and comfortable position.
Never thought about that. It's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, even a lawn, a well-tended green lawn, actually cools your immediate yard, your immediate vicinity, compared to if it was just all bark mulch or all, you know, just dirt, bare ground. That retains the heat, whereas the grass or the trees or the shrubs reflect the heat back into the atmosphere and provide shade and coolness. And like at my house, I'm surrounded by trees, so consequently it never gets real, real hot. On a 100-degree day in downtown Roseburg, it's usually about 89 or 90 at my house. And I only live, I think 16 miles away from Roseburg, maybe mm-hmm. 15, something like that.
Yeah.
But that's the difference that trees will make in your yard. They're like I say, they're beautiful. They provide the oxygen. And trees provide a home for birds, or squirrels.
Sure, yeah.
But they also provide a playground for kids.
Ah.
Ha having once been a kid, I remember some of the things.
Oh, we could tell stories.
Oh, yeah. Like when I was a young boy, climbing trees was the best fun I could have, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't have a whole bunch of stuff back in the 50s, so you had to invent games
That's
and stuff.
Right.
So you build a treehouse was mm-hmm. always a goal of mine. So you'd scavenge some old boards from behind the garage or in the shop or something.
Or your neighbors.
And of course, and your neighbors. You know, they always have stuff like that laying around. Get a hammer and some nails. Climb up your favorite tree and look for some branches that you could nail these boards to. Now, I'm sure that's not a popular thing to do in the environmental community, but, you know, back then we...
Nobody cared.
We just did things like that, you know?
Yeah.
We were having fun. We weren't running the streets and robbing stores or anything. We were building things.
Or killing people, yeah.
None of that stuff. But
we got to keep it light.
Yeah, okay. But these weren't fancy. Excuse me, these weren't fancy operations. You know, usually be about five or six boards, kind of nailed into a crotch of a tree where you had two, you know, pretty good sized branches that were mm-hmm. More or less parallel to the ground, and you could pound, you know, the nails in and then sit in your tree house, if you will. And I never had walls on any of mine. It was basically a tree house platform. You know, it was like that's all you had. But it was a cool place to go.
Yeah.
It was a place where you could, use your imagination and you're king of the world and you're up in a tree and nobody can see you when the leaves are on, say. And your mom would come outside and say, Mike, come home. And I'm laughing at her and she can't see me. See? Finally, when she threatened me, Mike, if you don't have home in 5 minutes, I'm going to break your neck. Home. Here I am, Mom.
Well.
You know, that's how good tree houses were.
Yeah,
so,
it really was.
Yeah, at any rate. But, you know, you see these new tree houses on TV, you know, the real fancy ones that are being built by these. You've seen those shows, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, set up with a kitchen and everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, got kitchens and three bedrooms, and it's a tree house, for crying out loud.
Oh, isn't that ridiculous?
And they're way up in these big, giant trees. And you go, wow, how did they do that? How much does that cost? I don't know. They never tell you the price.
No.
on these shows, because you probably say, what, $500,000 for a treehouse? Are you nuts? And they'll have an elevator system or a rope system that takes you up and down, and they're usually pretty far high up in a huge, huge tree.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they still have that TV show on. They probably do somewhere. I just haven't hit the right channel. But... they're large enough for people to live in.
I mean,
full time live in a treehouse. And you know, you don't have to worry about floods, I guess.
Well,
but
that would be kind of the life, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It'd be real interesting. And of course, that's a big improvement over what I used to build.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't have any rooms, and I didn't have a front porch. I mean, just some boards nailed to some branches.
That's all you needed.
That's it. And then every large tree, of course, has the potential for supporting a tire swing. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You
get an old rope, a big old thick old rope, and you throw it up over a branch, and you tie an old tire to it, and then mm-hmm. you get your little brother to say, hey, come here. I want to show you. I'll push you in the tire swing.
Oh, yeah.
And my brother Steve, of course, mm-hmm. and I put him in the tire swing and push him until, you know, he was, you know, 15 feet in the air screaming his lungs out. And again, my mom would come out and threaten me. Do you quit that? Do you stop that? You're going to hurt his. Nah, Mom, he's having fun. And he's screaming bloody murder.
Right.
So anyway, you know, that's how we used to amuse ourselves.
Yeah. Harmless
you know, good,
fun.
Yeah, good clean family fun. But the coolest thing was I'd get him to sit in the tree swing and then I'd wind it up, you know.
And wind
it up, and then when it's on a big old rope, you can get a lot of winds out of that dude.
Yes.
And then it'd get so tight you couldn't wind it anymore, and I'd say, okay, Steve, hold on tight, and then you let it go. And it would twirl about 100 miles an hour. Sometimes it was twirling so fast he'd fly out of there. Yeah, I don't know if you ever did that, but...
Oh, yeah, I did it to my younger brother until actually got bigger than me.
Well, there you go. There you go. See, so you've experienced that much fun.
Yes.
So, you know, but putting him in that tire swing, winding it up. Of course, I used to swing in it, too, but he never could wind me up as tight as I wound him up, you know.
No, yeah.
But he just, because I was a lot bigger than him. So, but always encourage brother to hang on tight.
Oh, yes.
And if he flew out while mom was there, you know, she would, of course, get upset at me again. You know, never gave me a break. Always yelling at me.
Because, what's with that?
You know, I'm just having fun with my brother playing and stuff like that. And there she is hollering at me.
Yeah.
So.
No fun.
I know. But finally, you know, trees with, like, heavy leaf color, cover, lots of leaves on them, were a perfect place to hide. So if your mom or dad was looking for you, they don't usually look up in the tree for me.
No.
Because they couldn't see me if they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I remember times when there was always somebody that would challenge me to a tree climbing contest.
Oh.
Yeah. The goal was to see who was the fastest and who could climb the highest in the tree without falling out to their death. You know, that kind of stuff. So you had to be, it taught you to be coordinated and safe and fast all at the same time.
They got your exercise.
To win, yeah, yeah, it was better than football, you know, for crying out loud. And you didn't have to wear a helmet. You do without a helmet. So,
oh, that's funny.
But you didn't, you know, one of the things is you didn't want to step on any small dead branches. And unfortunately, I did do that once.
Uh-oh.
I think I was in third grade. And I was up, I think, about, I don't know, 15 feet, maybe a little bit more.
That's what it was.
And I wasn't looking where I was putting my foot, and I stepped on a small dead branch.
Ouch.
And I woke up an hour later in my bed.
Oh.
After falling out of the tree. My mom, of course, good old mom, she had to pick me up and carry me to my bed and encase my head in ice because my head was swollen. I kind of hit halfway on my face, too.
Oh.
And so that's my problem, really. And I did wake up in bed. I had knocked me unconscious, knocked me totally out because I landed on a concrete walkway
and barely
missed the step. My head missed the step by about 2 inches. If I hit the step, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you.
You were lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what, the angels were taking me. Don't let him hit his head. He's got a radio show in the future.
How'd your mom take it? Was she yelling at you?
No, if she was, I didn't hear her. But, no, she was very nice. She was very nice. She took care of me. I think I spent at least 2 days in... 2 days in bed. We were on a ranch out in the middle of nowhere, so, you know, the nearest town was Wairika, and we were like 30-some-odd miles out to the east of that, so, and I don't even know if they probably had a hospital, but, you know, it took like a good 45 minutes to get into
there.
Town,
because
it was a dirt road. There was no pavement back in the day.
So you were kind of on your own.
Yeah, you're on your own. You know, we were living on this old cattle ranch. 7,000-acre cattle ranch, and we didn't have a doctor in the house at all. So, even experiencing all that, I still like trees, obviously, because I grow a whole lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just trees are good. Trees are good for your landscape. They're good for your entertainment. They're good for your enjoyment. They're good for shade. They're good for coolness. They're good for color. I encourage everybody that's listening and those that aren't even listening, go buy a tree, put it in your yard.
And you got lots of them there.
Yeah, we got a couple thousand of them is all, you know, and some are small, some are big, some get really big, some stay kind of small.
In between.
You know, it depends on the type of tree. Some have apples, some have cherries, some have, you know.
Lemons.
Yeah, some have just big flowers, you know, so it's good.
And
have lemons. We have lemons. We got a commercial coming up. I feel it.
We do. We do. Here we go.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back, Mike.
I will. I promise.
Okay. All righty. 2.5 minutes or less. We'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. That's good. And what's tomorrow supposed to be like? The same or what? Good. 76? Oh, man, I'll fry. Man, oh, man, yeah, really. Well, anyway, today, if you're anybody's out there still listening besides Dale and me, I've been talking about trees and the good things they do for our lives in general, and most of the times we don't even think about this kind of thing until you sit. No, there's a tree. Get that sucker out of my yard. cut it down. Well, you know, and it's so much a part of southern Oregon here that, you know, we got, like I said, really all makes and models. Excuse me, all makes and models of trees. We've got billions of them, for goodness sakes. You know, yeah. Every kind of tree you can think of, practically. But you know, and basically, as I was writing, I wrote 7 pages of notes. I can't believe I did it. I just got carried away. I was thinking about stuff, you know, thinking, I remember when I fell out of that tree. Remember when I did this? One time on one of my treehouse projects, my brother still gets a laugh out of this. I don't know. Something was happening, and he was harassing me, or I was harassing him, and I was up in the treehouse, and I jumped out of the treehouse, and the problem was there was a 2x4 on the ground with a nail sticking up, and I jumped right on that nail, and it went right through my foot.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he still laughs at that. And again, we were out in the boondocks, living, mm-hmm. you know, 35, 40 miles from a hospital, and my mom just... I think we soaked it in Epsom salts for a day or two and put some iodine on it. I'm not sure. And, you know, I limped around for a day or two.
Called it good.
That was it. That was it.
Well, that kind of reminds me about the time I did kind of a similar thing to my younger brother. We were out up on the hill there behind our house. He climbed this little tree, and I started shaking it, you know. So, and he fell right into a beehive.
Oh, gosh.
I took off running. I didn't stick around.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Oh, he was mad at me.
Did he get stung a few times?
Oh, yes. And my mother wasn't too appreciative either.
You know, there's something about moms that, you know, they get so irritated at the fun things we did when we were kids.
I know it.
I know. Well, gee whiz, Mom, we're just playing. Gosh, I didn't mean any harm.
I didn't mean to shake him into that beehive.
Yeah, I didn't do that on purpose. My aim isn't that good.
Oh,
gosh. But at any rate, you know, for a simple way to relax, you know, in your yard, at this, in the events that are swirling around our heads right now, is you know, clear your mind and get a little exercise at the same time, is tackle the backyard. Go in there and say, hey, I'm going to make something out of this corner, or I'm going to do this. Like, maybe you're going to start a pruning project on all those overgrown shrubs that have been neglected for the last couple of years. Well, hey, it's still, you know, you can prune them any time, and as long as you don't prune them to the ground, they're going to look fine. And you just go in there and work on it. And you know, once you've completed your project, sit back and admire your creative handiwork. Sit back and relax with a cup of coffee, iced tea, a beer, whatever you do, and hey, wow, I did a great job on that. Now I can tackle the other part of the yard. You know, you get encouraged by the project that you complete, and it looks halfway decent. You go, wow, my shrubs look so good.
And I did
neat.
That.
And clean, yeah. You good. I do it, too, at home. My wife says, what'd you prune that for us? Well, because it looks better. You know? Sometimes I prune a little too hard. I mean, I have to. Yeah, I know.
You take my dad's method, then.
Oh, gosh. But you know, when you've done this, you know, it's like mission accomplished, and you'll feel good about your work. You know, it's one less job on your list, and it gives you a sense of satisfaction. And that's what we all need, you know, this in these days, is a sense of satisfaction having done something and completed it, and it actually looks good.
It's encouraging. You know, it's just,
yeah, it's encouraging. It's self-encouragement again. Mm-hmm. And but the problem is going to be when you're done with that one section, you'll see all the other sections in your yard and all the other pruning projects that are needed, and you'll go, oh, man, what did I do that for? Now I got to match the rest of the yard with the stuff I did.
Right. Got to do it for another day.
Yeah, yeah, it takes you 2 or 3 days to accomplish that. So, but, you know, but to start, just do a small section. Don't push to get it all done at once, because, you know, you'll get really tired, and you'll get tired of picking up the branches. You get tired of putting them in a burn pile or putting them in your pickup and taking them to the dump or just piling them and leaving them, whatever.
Might get a little sore also.
Yeah, you get a little sore. You know, if you're not used to that kind of thing, you get a little sore. But, you know, I recommend that you use the same approach when planting new shrubs or flowers or trees. Just pick a small section of your yard. Work on the small section. Make a plan as to, you know, how many and what type of greenery will enhance your yard. Try the back corner or the front entry. You know, just don't burn yourself out. Just do a few. Yeah. Remember, too many plants, how many times have I said this, Dale? Huh. Too many plants close together is the beginning of a major maintenance project in a few years.
You know? I couldn't count the times.
Yeah, right. And most people do it. I mean, most people that do their own landscaping, and even landscape contractors, some of the
other guys,
nefarious ones will put too many plants in just to sell plants. But, you know, a few well-spaced plants won't break your budget or your back. And just remember, you can always add more later if you think it's needed.
True.
So you start out with, let's say you got an area, you know, you want 3 to 4, maybe 5 plants.
Yeah.
And you space them out really well, and they look good, and you sit there and look at them, and you think, gosh, it needs something else, you know. Maybe I should. And then as long as you left a sufficient space in between things, and you got a big enough bed, a planting bed, say 6 feet wide and 20 feet long or whatever, you've got places to, you know, put some geraniums or some petunias or some marigolds or, you know, something that's going to be colorful all year for you, and it fills the spot, and it enhances the spot, and it doesn't grow up to be a stinking jungle in a few years, and doesn't sell you down the river there. So remember, you can always add, always. You know, the same with water. You can always add more water. Mm-hmm. You can always add more fertilizer. You can always add more bark. You don't have to do it all at once in one fell swoop. So
take it easy.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, not only is your yard become more beautiful, the physical labor is a good thing. So, and then you enjoy your home, and then you can relax and watch the things grow, and you're okay. Now, here's the deal. If you have a new home with bare ground all around and you don't know where to start, get some books on plants, on some landscaping, and all of them have photos of yards with step-by-step instructions. And if you design your landscape, again, keep it simple and sparse with more room to add if you need something, and as you learn more about plants and how they grow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not a do-it-yourselfer, there are professionals that can help. And, you know, we have several ways that we assist our clients. The least expensive thing that I do for my landscape clients is they don't know what to do or know where to start or anything like that. It's called a landscape consultation.
There you go.
Yeah. We meet and discuss. You know, what would you like to achieve? What would you like to have? What kind of flowers do you like, or shrubs, or trees? Or,
what's the plan? What's the plan?
But a lot of folks don't know how to start that plan, or, you know, what size, or how many, or, you know, how big is it going to be?
Or where, I suppose.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so they you know, what do I do with the soil? Is it good soil? Is it bad soil? Mm-hmm. That's all part of the consultation. You know, this is what will work. This is what won't work. Do this or do that. And, you know, save yourself a lot of heartache and redo later on because you didn't, you know, call a professional.
Yeah, and that's absolutely no fun.
No, it isn't. It's a waste of time, money, effort, energy, and anger.
Yeah, and speaking of which, it's break time already.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, will I be back on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. More book learning from Mike next. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, I'll stay here and I won't hang up.
All right, that's a plan.
Okay.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, here we are in the home stretch already with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Still hanging out, Mike?
I'm not here anymore. This is a recording. So about how much time do I have, sir?
5 minutes.
5 minutes? Well, I can't do the next three pages in 5 minutes.
Condensed version.
Anyway, we're talking about a consultation and how to get somebody started in the last segment. And, you know, I ask about if they want a sprinkler system or is it necessary or you want a lawn. Is that part of your plan? Or, you know, give them all the information I possibly can. And, you know, what type of lawn is going to be, a seed lawn, a sod lawn? And I explain the pluses or minuses of each type. You know, if it's seed, this is what you have to do and this is how long it takes. Or if you choose sod, which is more expensive to begin with, but when you roll it out, you can use it within 10 days, you're okay to go, whereas on a seed lawn, it's going to take, you know, maybe a month almost before it's really usable. Mm-hmm. And a sod lawn is basically weed-free and beautiful right off the bat, so you need to point that out to them, and then they can make that decision. And this is the type of you know, consultation, like I say, for the do-it-yourself homeowner. When they want to do the work, but they just don't know where to get started. And I give and I guide them to suppliers of materials, like if they, you know, I say, well, you're going to need 20 yards of topsoil. And I say, well, where do I get the topsoil? I say, well, from your house to Uncle Sand and Gravel would be the shortest trip. Or if they live south in our area, I say, well, there's Mignola Farms has topsoil, or sometimes the co-op, if you're in North County, that's the shortest run. So, you know, the topsoil, the soil itself is basically the same price at each one of those places. It's the trucking that'll kill you. It's the trucking wow, man, that was expensive topsoil. Yeah, it is. It's the trucking.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I give them where do you get the topsoil? If I want rocks, where do I get rocks? I want boulders, big, beautiful boulders, or I just want gravel. Again, tell them who the suppliers are, who to talk to, what sizes of rock they'll need. You know, if it's big decorative rock, they can go to this place, or if it's this, they can go to this place. And they maybe they want a patio, maybe they want a deck, maybe they want a fence. Well, I know people who do fine fences and patios. It depends on the type of patio, whether it's a solid concrete or pavers or a deck. You know, who builds good decks? I can point them in that direction. And then at the end of it, or during the whole process,
right,
I can draw them a quick sketch, not real fancy or anything, but quick and label some things,
yeah.
And they get an idea of placement, and then the picture begins to make sense to them, and all the yeah. information I gave to them begins to make sense. And usually, you know, when my consultations run anywhere from $100 to $200, and it gets a homeowner started.
Nice.
And if they have any questions, I always tell them when I'm leaving. I say, if you run into a problem, give me a call. You know, I might not be able to stop by, or if yeah. I'm in the neighborhood, I can stop by, or I can at least give you the information over the phone. Mm-hmm. And people appreciate that. It's
so you don't really leave them out there on their own.
No. I make sure they understand
yeah.
what I'm talking about. And you know, I'll say, well, here, this is where you put a rhododendron and walk over 20 more feet, and say, this is where you put another rhododendron, and then maybe you could put some azaleas in the middle, or put a flowering cherry tree in the middle, flanked with azaleas, and then, you know, explain to them, you know, what sizes to get or what colors to get. I mean, mm-hmm. color is usually up to the wife. You know, they like certain colors, and you say, well, here, come on down. We got lots of colors.
Yeah, choose.
whatever you need, ma'am.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got to say yes.
And I don't know. I probably don't yep. have enough time to get into this next step, which is a full-blown landscape design drawn to scale.
Oh, you got about plus, 1 minute.
No, I won't be able to accomplish that. But what I'll do is, if everybody remembers what I talked about this week, when yeah. I get on the radio next week, I'll go into master plans and bidding and all that kind of stuff, so that you can have an idea. So that it's like I say, consultations, mm-hmm. With sketches, or a full-blown master plan that's you know, right to scale, or you know, if we want a bid on the job, and you give them all the information. I flood them with information. I want them to fully understand mm-hmm. what I'm talking about. I want them not to have any doubt in what's going to happen or what will occur, and right. they may have favorite plants, and I say, well, your favorite plant won't do really well there because it's not a big enough area for your favorite plant, because your favorite plant's going to get 50 feet tall in a few years.
It's way too big.
Yeah, way too big for that area. Plus, it's going to be overhanging your roof or your
yeah.
garage or the neighbor's yard, or, you know, and that's the kind of advice that people don't know how big some of the trees or shrubs or those kinds of things
sure.
will get in time. So you don't want to be a burden to your neighbor down the road.
What's your phone number there, Mike?
679-8224, and we are open 6 days a week from 9 to 5. We don't close. Viruses don't scare us.
All right. See you next week.
Well, thank you.